The Dave Glover Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFlora.com.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy rainy Monday. Which this could have been all weekend. Mondays are tough for a rainy day.
Oh, it's the best.
I'm okay with
weekends. Mess up my weekend tournaments.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't want that. That's chaos. You have no idea how weird that is when you've got to when a tournament has to reschedule 12 games and they all have to move and they.
I think Rach and I have some idea, don't we, Rach?
Not great.
We schedule a lot of little kids' baseball games.
Well, I don't have to do it.
You know everything about us.
You just sit around and wait for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and your whole day is just ruined.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah.
Anyone heard from the young man?
Heard from him earlier as he was boarding his flight to Portland.
Well, la-di-da.
Oh, I know. He's just traveling all over the
Certainly
place.
Certainly is. Multiple destinations in one trip.
I mean, he made it out of Vegas. That's a positive.
Yeah. No whale sightings.
Well, I mean, there are always whales in Vegas. Just not the swimming kind.
Everyone else okay? Decent weekend?
Yeah, this is a nice weekend.
Yeah, nice. Good.
Had to turn on the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Wait, just now?
I had been making it stretch.
My Lord.
I'm a stretcher too.
Yeah,
are you?
You got a fan blowing on you. It's not so bad. But it reaches a point where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
This is nuts. You like walk up the stairs and you're drenched in sweat. It's like, okay, time to turn on the AC.
Yeah, that's me at 72.
I need to give a new friend a shout out. I went down to the game with Nick and his buddy Jack on Friday, and I took an Uber down, and a great dude named Derek was my driver. We just got to talking and was telling him what I did for a living, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And he's from Chicago. Only been here for 3 months and getting to know the city and the people. And I said, I'll give you a shout out. So he has his daughter listening with him. Hello, Derek. Welcome to St. Louis.
Awesome.
Nice to see people move in instead of out, right?
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, cool dude. It's amazing how much you can get to know someone in like a 5-minute ride.
And you know what? Uber does seem like it would be a great way to get to know the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like driving people around, you get to see the roads, you get to see all the different parts of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Can I get the Trump Kristen Welker stuff out of the way? And we're going to play it for you. And it's pretty long. And I think it's important for a couple of reasons. You know, we ignore most of the Trump stories out there. You could do them 4 hours a day, literally. But this one I think is a little more important. I have a take that is a little different from any other take that I've heard. And it's very simple and concise. And we'll see if you guys agree. So Trump did meet the press. And it was kind of a screwed up interview because they were in some sort of a big barn and it was really torrential rain and they had to keep stopping and stuff like that, which, you know, that's the kind of stuff that normal people go through, frustrations. And then at the end, she started really pressing him. And if you watch Meet the Press, Kristen Welker, the one thing she really does is she really pushes, really presses. And she was pressing the president on his claims of the stolen election in 2020 and recent stolen elections in California. And they're being stolen as we speak. And, well, you don't have any evidence. You just got pissed and pissed. And this is what it sounds like.
Sir, that's not evidence.
Do you think it's appropriate?
That's how they count the votes in California.
Do you think it's appropriate that they have an election and 5 days later they're nowhere close to picking
a winner? State and local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in
crooked,
California.
Just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really?
Let's
well,
continue.
You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's
you
continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why
you've
I got that? Because you have no credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about. I want to talk about Todd.
You have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
your
about
your elections
you
in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
your elections are crooked. And you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked, and so is ABC, and CBS, and CNN.
But, Mr. President,
you're one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits, because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, let's please, I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain with
you. I know.
I've sat in the rain with you for an hour. On and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
Okay, that's the long and short of it. I don't think anyone cares that you traveled to Wisconsin.
No, nobody cares about your day. That's your job. You got paid to do it.
Yeah, whatever.
You didn't do it on your own dime, so shut it.
But a couple of takes. My first one is I don't care what their party is, what their gender is, what their last name is. Any president of the United States should be able to regulate their emotions better than that. And when those sorts of outbursts come in predictable ways, you know, he typically does this on a woman. He typically does it on a woman of color. He typically does it when he is being pressed on something that he doesn't have an answer for. So that's my first thing that, you know, so, you can't say regulate yourself because the horse is out of the barn. He never has. He never will. But I'm not okay with that. But Wheels, here's my next thing. I think the president is being incredibly un-American. And let's take that apart for just a second. To be un-American, syllogistic logic, means there has to be a thing that is being American, which some people may disagree with. They may say, no, the whole American, un-American thing, that's not a real thing. 350 million of us, melting pot. There are no real American values. I might feel that way if I were 31, but being 61 and growing up the way I did, in the environment I did, in the schools that I did, being parented the way I was, I've changed my mind a bit. I've rounded out some of the rough edges on what I thought was propaganda and what was actually happening. But I, for one, still feel like there are some American values. And one of them, and this could be the athlete in me, but guys, we were taught from the jump, at least I was, and definitely as an athlete, you don't gloat when you win and you don't act like a bitch when you lose. And I think that's an American value. It's one that I personally value. And to see the president refuse to admit the tiniest loss, and it is as simple as if he loses or someone who he endorses, it's rigged. There's no such thing as him losing validly. And keeping it very simple, I find that to be very un-American and very disappointing.
It's also incredibly childish to not be able to accept a loss. And this is the thing, when you're pressed on a claim, if your claim is these elections were absolutely rigged, there's mountains of evidence, then your reply should contain that evidence. So if you come to me on a topic that I'm arguing and you say you have no proof of this, I'm going to go, here's XYZ, this legal case, this finding, this report by the intelligence committee, whatever it happens to be. That's how you handle when you have the facts on your side, that's how you handle it. You simply present them. That's all you need to do. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have all of that evidence, number one, your lawyers didn't win a single case in court that showed any kind of election fraud. None. And in fact, when pressed by judges, your lawyers, including Rudy Giuliani, said out loud, we are not claiming fraud. This is not a fraud claim, because they didn't have the evidence to present that claim in court. So if there is a mountain of evidence, why doesn't whitehouse.gov have a page that shows it all? Why can't you just say, hey, go to the White House website. There, it's all there. Right here on one page. It's right there. Or why not present what you have actually won in court or where you have the facts? That's the part as a professional arguer that bothers me the most. He's just throwing flack into the air. It's not that hard if you have the proof on your side to just say, okay, Kristen, let's walk through this right here. And maybe even have it printed out. Have your people print it out. Have someone that's on your staff always have a link on their phone. Here, Kristen, my assistant's going to send you the link with all of this evidence. So I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to show it to you. That's how you show that you're right.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any evidence.
Well, no, of course, that's entirely the point.
Exactly.
Right?
He doesn't have any evidence, so he personally attacks her and bullies her. And you're right, Dave. He has a pattern of doing this with people that he perceives as weaker than him. He feels very comfortable calling these people stupid and crooked and berating them and walking out. I mean, that's obviously not okay. It's not how you want anyone to speak to anyone. It's just not okay to treat each other like that, especially in a professional environment. But it also, it always really bothers me when the president refers to the United States of America as a third world country, and he does that frequently. He talks about our country negatively on a global stage all of the time.
Did you notice how he was saying to Welker, your elections?
Yes. What do you mean by, and that's the other thing is like, he's losing it, guys. Like, he's losing it. When you say he can't regulate his emotions, he literally can't. You don't think if he could, he would make a better choice than this and have a better strategy? But it doesn't exist. Like, any lid he was able to put on it before, I feel like, is totally gone. And he doesn't even really make that much sense whenever he speaks on these things anymore. Because, yeah, he's talking about it as if he is not a part of this country. You are the president of this country.
Yeah.
So when you refer to the United States of America as a third world country and you say your elections, sir, it's your elections. It's all of our elections. What is it that you are? It just feels like he's having a meltdown and is just has no control over the words that are coming out of his mouth. And one last thing. I wouldn't even say that Kristen Welker was pressing him. She just simply wasn't allowing him to lie and control the narrative, which is what he wants and expects. All she was saying there was, well, we don't have any proof of that. Let's move on and let's talk about Todd Blanche. She was trying to give him an out, and she was trying to change the subject and continue the interview. But since he couldn't get his way and assert that the elections were stolen with no pushback whatsoever, he has to end the interview and walk out.
If they have these mountains of evidence, then why aren't people going to prison?
Great question.
If you have all this evidence, I mean, evidence is what you use in court to prosecute people who committed crimes. Election fraud is a crime.
Also.
So where are the people going to jail?
I have no party. I'm not a Republican because of how these a-holes look now. I'm not a Democrat for lots of policy reasons. But I'll tell you what, I would rather be a Democrat because they are evidently friggin' geniuses because they stole the 2020 election.
But not 2024.
But not 2024.
Yeah, I guess it was just like,
and
they
now
were worn out
now
after
stealing,
2020.
They're stealing California. So the Democrats...
Stealing the place that's gone left for 100 years?
...can rig any election they want at any time with such subtlety that they win the presidency but not Congress.
Well, that's
impressive.
I think that's where, you know, when you're looking at this, if you have an inclination to believe these claims, if you ask yourself one question, if they're so good at this, if there's a Wizard of Oz behind the curtain somewhere controlling all of it, why do you lose major branches of the government? Why did you lose to Trump the second time if you have rigged elections? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't hold up to 2 seconds worth of critical thought.
No, it's not difficult.
You could have swung the Senate just by going two more. If you can rig the presidential election, you're telling me you can't rig two more Senate seats to flip the whole thing? I mean, like, it's such a nonsensical premise that it's hard to even try to get into quote-unquote facts because it doesn't make any sense. If you were going to rig it, you wouldn't just go one-third of the way and then stop.
No.
And then let it come back again.
No. No one but Trump is accusing the Democrats of being geniuses.
No, they're a bunch of morons. They can't even get their own presidential candidate right. And we're thinking that they're like, you got these wizards behind the screen that are pulling things off?
Jeez. Anyway, that was my take. Refusing to admit any sort of a loss to me personally is very un-American. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're made of. That's not how we were raised. That's not, you know, what is it even? Why are you putting your hand over your heart? Why are you showing any respect? Why? Because you happen to be born on this plot of land? No, because you associate certain traits to that country. Mm-hmm. And that's why you are proud to be from that country. Mm-hmm. Not because you have a despot running things and keeping the people you don't like at bay. It's because you think that we have altruistic, honorable traits. And one of them, to me, has always been you don't gloat when you win, and you don't bitch about it when you lose, and you certainly don't deny every single tiny loss you've ever had and blame it on someone cheating or someone this or that. That is very un-American.
Yeah.
And I would hope we could all agree on that.
And you've had 6 years to present the evidence you say you have.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Welcome back, DGS. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for suffering through with us. Thanks for debating with us and sharing your thoughts with us. You can go to YouTube or Facebook and you can watch the stream where you can comment. And now that Andrew's not here, you can say stuff. but no, the guys know that the only time we've ever blocked someone is when they were being personal or when they were just taking over the stream for their own reasons.
Or attacking other people on commenting on the stream, yeah.
Yes, but you can say like, oh my God, Glover, you're so full of crap.
Yeah.
Trump, you know, the Democrats have stolen these elections. Great. Let's debate. Let's hear the facts. Before we leave this topic, Wheels, being the sports guy, what do you make of the president going to the Knicks game tonight?
I've never liked it. Partly because it's a selfish thing in my life where I've covered games where a president is there and it's a pain in the ass. So from that end, I don't love that it gets done. But it's nothing specific to Trump. I get it. They're humans too. And in his case, I'm not sure he cares. He always rips the NBA, which is why it's weird to me that he wants to make a big deal out of this. But it's also the biggest show in New York, so you know, you got to be a part of that.
I would think he would get roundly booed, except for the fact that tickets are $9,000.
I saw Darren Revell, who's a sports business guy, say that because of all of the chaos caused by his visit, the ticket prices on the secondary market are dropping.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can get in now at like $3,500, $4,000, where before it was way above that. Now, again, that's not because of him. It's because of what goes with it. You want to spend $10,000 to sit in the nosebleeds and have to wait 2 hours to get in the building and go through all the chaos? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just coming down naturally because the prices were so high.
Maybe you'd call me a liar to my face, and maybe I am. But I, like Wheels, wouldn't care who the president was.
Nah.
I don't like these things. And I don't care about the Knicks. I don't care about the NBA. I don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
But I do care. It bothers me some. That the people who have been gathering outside and watching it outside the garden, I think that's cool. And now they're not going to be able to do that.
That's right.
I think that kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not, this is definitely, to me, this is not a Trump thing because I felt similar ways about Obama making appearances. George W. Bush was famous for going to baseball games. And again, there's nothing individual about any of those people. I just think when you're the president of the United States and you're coming to a very crowded place, it's causing chaos for everybody there, and it doesn't really add that much to it, right? It's not like,
no,
you know,
I don't think anyone cares.
My experience was enhanced because the president was somewhere in the building at the same time I was in the building.
Yeah,
but I there are people that disagree. That's cool. I'm just, you know, I'm very selfish about that. Please don't make my parking more difficult. Please don't make my day twice as long because now it's going to take that much longer to go through security.
Amen. Go back, DGS on KMOX. Did you guys hear about the Pentagon removing certain religions from the list of basically acceptable religions? So I'll get this wrong. I apologize. Didn't do a deep dive on this. But I think they pared it down to about 35, most of which are just different sects of Christianity. But they took out atheists. They took out humanists. They took out Wiccan. But the one that's really causing the kerfuffle, especially from the senators from Utah, they took out Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, took away the demarcation that they were Christian. And, of course, there's a big debate within religiosity, whether they're Christian or not Christian or this or that. But this is the first time I know of, could be wrong, that the U.S. government has taken upon themselves to pick and choose. And the Pentagon saying, hey, nothing to see here. This is to make the job of our chaplains easier. To which I would say, you know what? I think a chaplain worth their medal can meet any individual warfighter where they need to be met. whether they are a Southern Baptist or they're an atheist and they're going through some sort of emotional existential problem or they're Buddhist. That's a tall order, but I don't think you need to take certain religions and just put a line through them on the index card that the chaplain gets. Thoughts?
So this is, it's not like, oh, if you're Wiccan, you can't join the military. It's just, we are not going to provide a chaplain for you if you ask for one.
Correct.
I mean, it feels like anyone who asks for one should be able to talk to any leader of any faith. I mean, what if you want to get saved real quick before something, you know, or what if you want to convert to Judaism? I don't know. I think any of our military members should have the opportunity to talk with whoever. Feels kind of crazy to be like, no, you kind of have to declare in advance and then we'll assign you a chaplain.
Yeah. And I think there's something like 3,000 quote unquote recognized religions in the world. I wouldn't expect any individual to know all of those and be able to say like, oh, you're a Zoroastrian. Let's talk about Zoroaster. I don't expect that.
Right.
But it just seems sort of like, oh, did you really have to?
Was this a pressing problem?
Great question.
Like, were they getting complaints? Like,
don't know.
Chaplains are like, I just don't know anything. Like, it seems like you're creating a problem where one didn't really exist. And you can have 22 different denominations of one religion, but you can't allow a person to say they're a humanist. I mean, I guess they can be it. You just can't.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any counseling. It's just a weird, it just doesn't.
I'm super confused.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. There doesn't seem to be any good purpose to it. I also find it kind of interesting that several significant politicians who are Mormon and they represent Utah or both are really upset about that one particular thing, but not taking up the argument for the others.
Mm.
Like, the whole point here is that we shouldn't be picking teams based on this when it comes to government jobs. And that's essentially what being in the military is. It's a government job. It's an important one. It's more it's more needed and necessary than a lot of the other fluff. It's not fluff. It's real. But that's what it is. And how are we just doing this like cafeteria style? This one's okay. This one's not. Pick this one. Don't pick that one. I thought it was supposed to be all of it's okay.
So Hegseth said the number of codes used by service members to identify faith had ballooned to well over 200. Now they've whittled it down to this 31.
Does that save us money?
See, again.
What's the point?
Again, like, first of all, why do you need codes? But, okay, so there were 200 ways that people identified. So who are you to decide that you're going to whittle it down to 31? Most of them being different sects of the same religion.
Yeah, because are 22 of them, of the 31, are 22 of the 31 Christian denominations? Or
that's,
is that all under one? Is it, okay.
I don't know. That's the way I haven't
seen it laid out. But it allows for... So it's okay to get super specific within under one umbrella, but not include Mormons or any other specific group. It's a weird one to pick.
Yeah. Hegseth's also coming under fire from a lot of Republicans because on D-Day he gave a speech, and just in the middle of the speech, really, truly, apropos of nothing, he just started going off on our former European allies and saying, you got to get your borders taken care of because all these people, it's an invasion, and the D-Day invasion were men coming on a beach with different, you know, views, and that's what this is. And even Republicans are like, dude, read the room, man. It's D-Day. And these are other countries. It's not your country.
Yeah. And you're not a diplomat. Right? I mean, you're not an ambassador. You're not in the, you're not a diplomat. You are Secretary of Defense. And yes, I know what they call it. I think it's stupid, so I'm not saying it.
What do they call it?
The Secretary of War. I think it's the stupidest thing ever.
One more thing, MAGA, and I'm going to go the other way on this one. Dan Marino, former Dolphins Hall of Fame quarterback, was photographed, I believe, at Mar-a-Lago wearing a MAGA hat. And, you know, reading the comment section of anything, you can read the comment section of Highlights Magazine and find some terrible stuff. But it was pretty bad. You know, just basically, now I know why he never won a championship.
Oh, my God.
Now I know why he's such a loser and he's such a dirtbag. And look, I disagree with pretty much everything MAGA, but I'll support your right to do it. I may tell you you shouldn't. I may tell you you're wrong. If you'll allow me to, I may try to demonstrate for you, which you can then push back on. But just to take someone who, before this, you were fine with, but then they put a hat on, you're like, piece of crap. I'm just not down with that.
I'm with you. People are allowed to be what they are. And if you're talking about policies and you're debating issues, well, then we can have those debates. There's nothing wrong with arguing. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing. You don't judge people immediately because they happen to vote for someone or like someone or whatever it is. If that person does bad things, like, you know, or things that don't make any sense, like we were just talking about with Hegseth, well, we can then criticize that. But if they just happen, I mean, this just happened. Somebody on Twitter brought it up and I didn't answer it because I don't do anything remotely political on Twitter. I'm not going to do it. Was like the University of Miami coach Mario Cristobal was going to bring Trump in to talk to the team. And he's like, what do you think? I'm like, I don't care. I truly don't care. It's fine. And if the players don't like it, then they can not attend or they can just ignore it or they can sit there quietly. I mean, it's fine. I would feel the same way about players that didn't want to be there for if Obama was there. It doesn't matter. It's okay if someone has that sensibility, maybe even knows the person involved, and they're going to bring them in to, you know, make some point or make an impression or whatever their reasoning is. Doesn't bother me.
I tell you who I have less patience with, and that's quote-unquote cute candidates, like Pratt in California or Plattner in Maine. Like, when you have to turn yourself into such a pretzel because of this person's alleged bad deeds, maybe it's time to find someone else.
Yeah.
You know, just overall, not this guy in particular, but just I've lost my flavor for interesting candidates.
Yeah. And also this, well, you know, the whole team dynamic, right? Well, you know, they're on the team I tend to go with, so I'm going to have to follow them. No, you don't. You don't have to support that. You can say, nope, not voting for that person because they're terrible.
What do you mean, like bending yourself into a pretzel in regards to them being a cute candidate? I guess I'm not understanding the connection there.
Like, Plattner, you know, had a Nazi tattoo for 18 years, and I didn't know it, and I did know it, and said a bunch of terrible things about fellow soldiers and all the stuff with him and his wife. And, you know, at some point, you just get to the point where you're like, yeah, maybe this isn't the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people like that for that reason. Like, the thing on Plattner is he's a junkyard dog. He's what we need. He fights dirty. He'll go after Trump. He's not a statesman. And I don't know. Maybe that's exactly what the Democrats need. But and I don't have to worry about it because I don't live in Maine right. or California.
Right.
But if we had a candidate like that in Missouri, I don't have a side anymore, but even if it was something I was comfortable with the party, I don't think I would do it. And go back before Trump, and I was one of those people on my show saying things like, throw out every person in Congress, and just I'd rather hire my next door neighbor. And then we did. And I don't think it went great.
No, I think that's something we've all gotten wrong for a long. I mean, we need different people, but we don't need quote unquote outsiders. We need smart, honest people. That's the really only categorizations that I care about. Are you honest and are you smart? I think smart people figure out solutions to problems. I think honest people are going to be honest. And we've been for so long. I mean, honesty, it's not even a criteria in politics. It's just assumed you're going to lie and BS. And it's just going to, I mean, and this is not new. I mean, it's my entire adult life where being truthful, being honest doesn't get you anywhere. It's actually a negative. I mean, when you have the president of the United States 30 plus years ago saying, I guess that depends on what the definition of the word is. Hmm. What are we doing? I'm a big believer in that. If you will lie to your closest family members, you will lie to me in a heartbeat. So to me, that those are lines in the sand. I have to be able to trust you, and I have to think you're not an idiot.
At DGS, for the line. I've had some takes this hour. I stand behind them all. I think they're good takes. You ready for a really bad one?
All right.
If I had to choose between watching the final round of a professional golf tournament or watching people play at Forest Park, I think I'm going to watch the people play at Forest Park.
Amen.
Okay, why do you say this?
Now, we're talking about on TV for the golf?
Yeah.
Okay, because in person, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think I'd rather see someone slice it 180 yards than like, oh, I'm 18 inches farther than I thought I would. It's just like, I'm just kind of bored.
Well, the people that are out there playing in any course, they're going to be far more entertaining.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they're going to be laughing and joking and some of them are going to be drinking beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the Forest Park golf course. I was actually just down on Art Hill yesterday and admiring their golf course. It's so cool that we have something like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy take, Dave.
I thought you'd kill me for that one.
No, I mean, look, I can't watch golf on TV, and I'm not blaming anybody that does. My whole family does. You know, my dad's a huge golf fan. In person, it's fascinating. In person, I love it. Whenever we've had events in St. Louis, I got to cover the Doral Open when I was in college as an intern when Tiger Woods was playing at 16 years old. Like that, and it's fun. I got to follow Jack Nicklaus for a day. Like, these are cool things. I enjoyed it, and I love getting out there even in person now, but I can't watch it on TV. I just can't do it. Because the tone of it puts me to sleep. It's not that it's not competitive. It's the constant talking like this, and I'm like...
Yeah, it's not made for Wheeler.
No, and it's fine. It's not, you know, nobody else is wrong. I'm not right, just how it is.
What do you guys think of this? The mayor of Shelbyville, Indiana, said that the only people who are against data centers live in SE houses.
Whoa.
I think it's a common tactic. First of all, I don't think they meant for anyone to hear this. So this is a little bit of a peek behind the scenes of how the folks who oppose data centers are being described behind closed doors. But that's a common attack, is like, these hicks, they don't even know what it means. They have no clue what's going on. The only reason you could ever be opposed to this is because you're stupid and you don't understand anything. That seems to be like the talking point that a lot of folks are using. And besides being insulting, it's just wrong. Like, it's just wrong. I like to read up on these things. I'm not saying like no data centers anywhere in Missouri or anywhere in St. Louis. No, they're obviously going to happen. They're going to be a necessity. But don't call people stupid or uneducated when we say, so what is the data center for? And what company is moving in there? And you won't tell us the answer to that question. That doesn't make me an idiot. Like, that makes you're not transparent. You're being shady. Don't blame me for being suspicious when you are not being transparent with information.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Cosine. I think that's the thing. If you're going to give us all the information, great. But if you're leaving things out, well, of course we're naturally going to be like, well, why are you leaving that out?
Yeah, and explain to the average citizen how the data center is going to make their life better.
Right.
Just explain that. And
does it grow tax base? Does it create jobs? Does it do? Right, right.
But instead, it's like, well, no, it's going to make us, it's going to bring money to the things that we want. So you're stupid if you're not on board. Like, no, make a better argument.
Yeah.
Make a better argument to your constituents. Don't just call them dumb.
And houses near airports and I'm guessing data centers and things like that tend not to be the highest priced houses. So that's kind of rich for you to say something like that. Like, are you going to put, like, if it were here, are you going to put it in Ledoux or Clayton? Which one?
Right.
Maybe that little, maybe Shaw Park, little space in between. Yeah, where are you going to put it? So maybe people who live near where you're going to put it have an objection.
That's a great point. And some of the places that are going to be chosen are probably chosen because the land is a little cheaper than it would be in some of those other areas.
Yeah.
And because the pushback is stronger when the people pushing back have money to do so.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but it really, it does, it says a lot, doesn't it? That it's like, oh, well, their opinion doesn't matter because their house isn't nice. Like, oh, wow. You thank you,
you
for saying
that.
You said
it out loud, yeah.
Yeah, you really said that. And now I know exactly who you are. Thank you. I appreciate information like that.
Also, I saw my first real video of people parking under the underpass during a storm, which I think makes both of you guys crazy. Am I right?
It's not that it makes me crazy. It's that it's endangering the lives of everyone driving behind you on the highway.
Yeah.
Like, it is one of the most selfish and horrible things you could do.
If you're only on the shoulder and you're off.
Yeah, that's different because people can get
more,
by you.
But are you talking about when they just stop in the middle of the lanes? Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're risking other people's lives.
Because you're scared.
And also because you don't want the hail to hit your car.
Right. Give me a break.
Get it repaired. Don't put my life at risk because you're worried about hail damage. And if you're scared to get, I mean, you can pull over on the side of the road. You're fine. Nobody's going to care if you're pulling off to the shoulder.
Yeah, but when you're effectively shutting down the highway to save your car.
You know who'd do that?
I don't want to say it.
He on his way to Portland right now.
Oh. I'm like, you better not be looking at me because I would make you mad.
You'd back in.
I'll just take the hail damage and fix it, you know?